Welcome to episode 368 of Coffee Pods and Wads. Before I get into the actual episode proper, I want to thank the sponsors of the show because I feel like sometimes I shortchange them. Frog Grips sent me a pack of stuff. I actually talk about it in this episode. They sent me a pack of stuff to give out at affiliates, like crazy generous. They do tape, grips, belts, sweatbands, you know, like wristbands, knee sleeves, all sorts of stuff. You can go to froggrips.com. I don't know what happened there when I tried to speak. I kind of stuttered. Beyond the Whiteboard, btwb.com. They've got that all-in-one thing that's regularly talked about on the Around the Whiteboard show. And they've also got movement trackers. So I track all my burpees and it tells me how many burpees I've done. Now I've only started tracking them this week. I actually think I've done like 7,000. But it thinks I've done 1,000 because I only started doing it like 10 days ago or whatever. But go to Beyond the Whiteboard. You can use it for your affiliate, for yourself, or if you're an online coach, you can use it too. GoWad have extended their free trial to include the full open window. And every time the open working comes out, they have a specific warm-up and cool-down for that open. So you put in what division you're doing, what like scale or RX or whatever, and then it primes you and cools you down afterwards, which is just fantastic. And it's free. So you don't actually have, you can do your free trial and use that while you're doing your free trial. So you can download GoWad in the App Store or the Google Play Store if you're an idiot that doesn't use iPhones. D8 Fitness, if you're in Ireland or on the island of Ireland, you can purchase fitness equipment like machines, all that kind of stuff, weights, like bars, everything, or like, you know, accessories like bands, all that kind of stuff. And they'll also, if you own a facility, they will come and service. They've got a team of like ex-military guys that are, you know, they run a military operation, but they're really good and they get high praise when they go. They can like upcycle stuff, you know, like get it back to its best. Any kind of steel or anything like that, they can like rejig it a bit or rejudge it, make it look kind of fancy again. Or they can service your machines like assault bikes, concept bikes, that kind of stuff. Whoop, go to join.whoop.com/CPW. You can get a free band, like free strap, a free unit, and you get a discount on your first month. God, I'm not confident of that. But what does happen, if you join Whoop, you'll be able to track your sleep, your recovery, your workouts, all that kind of stuff. You can use the AI feature, which, I mean, I don't really use, to be honest, but if you can put into your AI, like, what workout should I do today? And it will tell you a workout to do based on your strain from the day before, your recovery, that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool, but I just kind of follow programming, so I don't actually do that. But as well as doing all that stuff, if you join Whoop, I get like 50 quid, like direct to me, which is great. It takes about 6 months for me to get it, but I get it. Speaking of strain, recovery, programming, that kind of stuff, Sentinel, if you haven't been watching Savan's open workouts with Taylor Self, just go and look at them and you will understand why I'm so vehement that people should be following Sentinel training. Just pure, straight from the gullet of the methodology, Taylor has just formulated a remarkable programming. We actually talk about it in this episode as well. You can download the Fitter app or go to get.fitter.com. No, get.fitter.training/Sentinel. Or if you just search Sentinel on Instagram or Sentinel Training on Google, it'll come up. And LSKD, if you go to lskd.co, pick whatever country you're from, so America, Australia, or rest of world, and then you'll get free shipping if it's over $70, I think. God, I need to research all this stuff before I say it. And if you use CPW LSKD, you'll get a discount. And I get like 10%. So if you spend $100, I get $10. That's pretty cool. Today's guest, Seth Page, he recently won the Around the Whiteboard first final. He's incredible guy. Crazy story, like ridiculous story. He just talks about some insane stuff in this. He runs Jumpship Training, Jumpship CrossFit, gyms all over Hawaii, and there's one in Phoenix as well. You should look him up. He's a very clever guy. And if you go to YouTube and search Jumpship Training, he also is doing some rehashing of the old CrossFit media, which is kind of cool to watch as well. So enjoy it. That's what happens when I schedule loads of shows in advance, get emails, send the link, like send the reminder to the email, but don't have the actual show set up yet on YouTube. and then set up the show later on YouTube and then never remember to send the email.
Dude, this is what I'm afraid of, going down this rabbit hole myself, trying to start like a little show. Is I don't know if I'm organized enough to pull it off.
I'm not organized at all, and it's fine.
Okay, fair.
I just want to show, this is no relevance to you, but Frog Grip sponsored the show, and I asked him to send some stuff for the open. Because I'm going to, man, I look so pale. I went to two affiliates, like for one affiliate first week, a different affiliate last week, and a different one next week. And I'm going to like three as different or as unique ones as I can go to. So one, how do I describe them? The one I went to in Galway, Limitless, is very focused on, they're very good coaches. They're really into like good movement quality. They're really into community, and they're really into like fun. Like that's their whole thing, is that like train well, but like have a shit ton of fun when you're doing it. The one I went to this week has kind of a garage gym feel to it. Like it's smaller. It's like attached to a, you know, a jiu-jitsu gym. It's like small, maybe like, I don't know, 80 or so members, like it's tight knit, and you can feel it when you're in the room. And then the one I'm going to this week, I would describe as like heading for facility. Do you know what I mean? It's like they could market themselves as like a strength and conditioning facility if they wanted to. Like they're very, you know, that's their thing. But I asked Frog Grips to send some stuff, and it didn't come in time for the first 2 weeks, but I'm going to send some stuff over to the two gyms I was at. But they sent me so much shit. So like thumb tape, like loads of different boxes of thumb tape, loads of different colors. Can you see the colors inside there?
Looks great.
Yeah.
Wait, can I help you with this, with Frog Grips? Because something stood out to me with them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I did that video on Spiel's quest for 100 pull-ups, and I was like, I don't know how many people have done this. And then someone showed me the James Newberry video of him doing 120 wearing
Frog Grips. He did toes wear. He did a nuts amount of toes wear as well.
Yeah, he did. He did. But wow, is that impressive. And I don't think it's even possible without the grips. More. So very impressive.
This is, so they sent me all this tape.
Jeez.
And then like a
shit
ton of grips.
How long is that going to last you, realistically? How long is it going to take?
I'm going to give it all away.
Oh, you're going to give it away. Okay. So not long.
Like three, six pairs of grips.
Cool.
They're really generous. Really generous guys. And what I like about them, maybe this is a stupid thing to admire, like maybe it's shit. Maybe it's a stupid thing to admire, but like the guys themselves are on the Instagram page replying to DMs and stuff, like the owners of the company. I always think that's
stupid.
Cool.
That's not stupid. That's genuine.
Fuck. I made a video the other day where I poured C4 into a can of C4, like as a joke for the video.
Oh, God.
And I just knocked it over and I like blew it, like to get it off the desk, and inhaled, like it all just went into my throat. Yeah, no, so Frog Grips, like honestly, they are actually really good. I have, I don't know where they are actually. I have the J. Crouch ones, and you don't need chalk. So like they're, you can go, they have two different types. They have the one that you need chalk, or they, well, not that you need it, but you can add chalk and it increases the grip.
Yeah.
And then they have non-chalk taking ones where like you don't, they're just as grippy without chalk. But then the issue with them is, I think some people have said, this is what happened to you at Rogue and a few others, like if they get wet, they're fucked. Or if like that's chalk on the bar already, they're fucked. But the new ones, they brought out this new type, I think like last week, 1st of March or something. And they like take, you can have chalk or no chalk.
Huh. But they're not fucked if they get wet.
As far as I know, yeah. Oh, I have Frog Grips as well. What else?
Too grippy.
Free basing. Yeah, is that? Yeah, that's when you huff, is it? Huff. Thumb tape. Yeah, so I'm going, I have one more affiliate to go to. It's actually the affiliate I used to go to. For children and stuff.
Do you still go to the gym or do you work at home?
Train here.
Yeah. Well, most people have that stuff for decorations and they don't ever actually do any real training at home.
People say that in the comments a lot. Have you ever even lifted that bar?
Not accusing you, but that seems to be the trend.
Yeah, I've had shit training lately now. I did something to my, I overloaded my patella like 3 weeks ago, and I can't squat. My right knee, I can't go past like above parallel, you know, like I can't go past a shit rep. So I'm nervous now about Friday because I know there's going to be squatting.
There is.
And I can't do it.
What have you done about it? What have you done about it? You're just letting it heal?
No, I went to the physio and he gave me, he did some really weird thing actually. He put on like a wristwatch. Fuck, did I say this on the show? This is going to be boring if I said it before. But he put on like a wristwatch, like, you know, those old fashioned bracelet watches that like your dad would have worn. Mm-hmm. And he put on one of them and he was attached to what I thought was like an ECG machine. And then he put a pad on the back of my calf and then he was like massaging my knee with his finger. And I was like, oh, what's this? And he goes, oh, it passes electric current through me, through your tendon and then into the thing in your calf. And it's like I can't remember what it's called. Someone else, but Taylor, I was Taylor Self, I was talking to about it. He said he did one, but the guy that was doing the massage had to like stand on a pad and that the current went through him.
It's like Nikola Tesla is your PT.
Yeah, yeah. But it's crazy though. It worked. Like the next day I was like, oh fuck, it's not actually sore. Like it was sore every time getting in and out of the car, it was sore. Like, you know, when you do that kind of retract your knee up towards yourself to turn to get out of the car. Every time I did that, it was sore. Now it's not sore doing that anymore. It's just sore if I squat or try to squat. But yeah, he gave me some like rehab stuff to do. So I'm doing that and then hopefully just kind of fucks off for a while.
My fix all is voodoo floss. That's my thing. Not sponsored, but nothing, but voodoo floss seems to fix.
That's the like latex tape stuff kind of is that you wrap
like
around.
Long roll rubber band, yeah, that basically you just attack different tissues with. So yeah, my dogs are gonna hopefully.
How many dogs have you got?
Four.
Wow.
My wife collects them, like she's obsessed with dogs. I love them, but I tolerate them more than anything.
What kind of dogs are they? Are they all like mongrels?
Three female labs and then one dude that we rescued in our short time in Arizona.
He's actually Where do you live now?
Well, dude, great question. So I'm in Hawaii right now. I just go back and forth everywhere. With all the different gyms, I always feel like I'm going to get settled somewhere and then I something happens and I end up somewhere else. Then something happens, I end up somewhere else. I keep telling myself, all right, this is my place. This is where I'm going to be. And then it changes 6 months later and then it changes. It's not
where are you from originally?
Maine, all the way up in the northeast.
Okay, that's like near Boston, kind of. Is it over that way?
Right,
okay.
We're right in that area. Yep.
And what age are you?
I'm gonna be 38 in like a month.
Oh, happy birthday! Thank you. Are you a big birthday guy?
No, maybe when I was younger, but now I typically work on my birthday. I don't really care.
Yeah. What was Maine like when you were growing up? Were you sporty or?
No, not, I wish I played more sports growing up. I actually, I think part of that was, this may be a trend in my life. I moved around so much as a kid. I didn't really get set in any like community. I was changing schools, all that stuff. So I never really got into sports cause I have to like, I don't know, just didn't happen. So I didn't really play any sports. I did a little like basketball for a year or two, but actually I was like, when I was a teenager, I was a competitive darts player. I traveled around the country and played darts.
Wow, is darts big in the States?
It's not huge, but it has a very like diehard following.
Okay, wow, that's obviously a trend you stuck to for the rest of your life. With how did you get into darts? That because over here, that's like a misspent youth sport. That's like I hung out in bars with my dad.
And that's kind of what happened. My uncle, who I live nearby, was like a local, like really good dart player when I was like 15.
So you're gonna say he was a alcoholic.
No, I don't think he was ever that, but he certainly liked the scene for sure. But he was like, yeah, so he knew I was good at like hand-eye coordination stuff. I would win like I won like a youth like free throw shooting competitions in basketball a lot. So just the simple hand-eye coordination stuff. So he's like, come play, come try it. And I just like picked it up super fast. And then he would bring me to bars when I was like 14, 15, 16 on weekends, enter me in tournaments, and I would like wouldn't have to work. I make so much money playing darts. And as a teenager, I didn't need to do anything else.
That's cool. So. You said you moved around a lot. Is that what you said? When you were younger? Why was that?
Just the typical divorced parents stuff, moving, changing stuff.
Oh, very, okay.
Very, typical stuff. Nothing crazy happening. I'm not like a military kid or anything, just getting resettled.
What age were you when your parents got divorced?
I was young. I was like 8.
Okay. So you kind of, you've never really known any different, I guess, more or less.
No, I don't remember much before that. Just a lot of moving.
Yeah. I was like 24 when my parents got divorced. That was weird. Because you know, like when you're...
That's so much different. That's so weird.
You're like, my whole life was like in a certain way. And then it was just like, I was like, oh, okay. That's just bizarre. But then you're also an adult. So you can kind of empathize, you know, like you kind of understand, and you know more than you probably should know as well. Like when you're an 8-year-old, you might overhear an argument, or you might, you know what I mean? But like, you don't understand the nuance of relationship.
Absolutely. I didn't understand anything. I just was like, oh, okay, this is changing now, whatever. But yeah, that's funny, because you can definitely process that whole situation a lot more because you've been through your own relationships and you know that they don't
always
pan out. But
yeah, it's weird.
That is.
Yeah, it's very odd. I could tell a story or two about that. The CrossFit then, where you don't strike me as the type that was like, played football, gave up on football, started that then. If you were not that type of kid, how did you discover CrossFit? Like a skateboarder or something and then moved
in? No, man. Really not athletic at all my whole life, honestly. It sucks to say that too, because I have a lot of like youth regrets of not playing sports that I would have found fun. But I had an epiphany at some point. I think I was 18 or something like that. I remember this moment. I looked into the fucking bathroom mirror with my shirt off one summer and I was like, what has happened to me? Like, I was always like the skinnier, like I was probably, you'd call me skinny fat in high school. Like I was not built, but just like, you know,
just average,
like, average. Yeah. Very average. And then one summer, I guess I realized I probably had gained 20 pounds just like fucking fall, you know, my gut falling over my swimsuit as a teenager. I'm like, I got to do something about this. So that same day I went to a small group of my friends and was like, yo, I'm going to start going to the local gym. You guys want to come with me? And like two of my friends were like, yeah, I'll get into the gym with you. And then just that moment changed everything. I started like, I was like die hard into going to, you know, the Planet Fitnesses, the local global gyms from like 19 to 22, you know, put on a little muscle, lost some fat, got into just the basic, like simple lifting stuff. And then got like my first, like personal training certificate through NASA when I was like 20 or something like that. But then I like realized I had to get a real job. So I did a little training. My girlfriend at the time, her dad owned a bunch of Planet Fitnesses in the area. And he's like, yeah, you can work here anytime you want, whatever. But then I got hired as a cop. So I got sent off to the police academy when I was like 21 or 22. And my first day there, they said, buckle up. We're doing this new thing that you haven't heard of before called CrossFit. And I was like, boo. Like, I wasn't into it because I had my own way of doing things for years already. And there's like, too bad. This is how we're training. Good luck to you. And my first workout, like the next day, was Fight Gone Bad. Puked everywhere. Only cadet that puked everywhere after. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I found it finally. And then I was obsessed from that day.
Why most people, or well, some people anyway, would get sick and be like, fuck this, I'm out. Why did you want it so bad?
The rush after, the post-workout rush of like, what was that? Just like, I loved working out, but I liked working out differently. But I never felt that sort of endorphin rush after a workout as I did that day. And it was like, I was like chasing that feeling after that.
That's cool. Why did you want to be a cop?
I didn't know what else to do, man. I was a complete loser, like as far as just not giving a shit about anything in high school. Did really bad in high school, barely graduated, had to go to like night classes to finish my senior year to graduate. Just with a typical didn't apply himself type of kid. Hated it. And then when I was like traveling around, still playing darts after high school, a lot of the guys that traveled were cops because they had a lot of vacation time. They had weekends off. They were like senior, you know, lieutenant sergeants. And they'd be like, you know what? It's a good career. You get retirement, blah, blah, blah. And I'm a young kid. I'm like, okay, I could go to community college for that. So I had no other direction. So I just went with it.
Did you qualify? Like, did you finish?
Finish what?
Being like police academy or whatever.
Yeah, I was a cop for 8 years. I have some stories for you. I ran, I started Misfit.
Was this all in Maine?
Yeah. I basically, once I grad, the Police Academy in Maine is actually very tough. It seems like it wouldn't be a big deal because it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's actually one of the toughest academies in the country because you work solo so often. There's not that many people up there. You don't have the luxury of backup like you do in big cities. So you have to be like specially trained. So it's 18 weeks, live there. And was the second I graduated, I went to Buddies and was like, I'm starting a gym. And so almost simultaneously, my law enforcement and fitness in CrossFit career like ran side by side. But I was a cop for 8 years. I did 2 years of patrol, and then I did almost 6 years of undercover work, buying drugs, buying guns, doing search warrants, kicking in doors. Yeah, I did that for 6 years, taking apart meth labs.
Fuck. Okay. How did you, how are you, do you put yourself forward for that, or are you earmarked as like, that guy looks like he could take drugs?
Well, it was a little bit of a 21 Jump Street type situation. You heard of that movie where they send the dudes in high school? I was 22 and I looked like I was about 17, but I was like pretty good with the, when I applied myself in college and figured out a lot of the law enforcement stuff, and then through the academy, I graduated the academy valedictorian. So I like had my shit down. I knew what I was going to do with law enforcement. And so they gave me this early interview for this special agent position, basically, long before I actually qualified for it. And they picked me over everyone else because I assumed my looks, I knew what I was talking about. I understood Fourth Amendment search and seizure law better than veteran cops. I like had it down. So they took me and they just used me hard. In a fun way, but also burnout way.
That's crazy. It's a good comment. I did that for a couple of years too, just never formally connected with the police department. Research, just research purposes.
I know a lot of people like that.
That's fucking nuts. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. So what's the main drugs in Maine then? Is it like, I didn't mean to just say that way. What are the most common drugs in Maine?
Yeah, now, like pretty much all over the country, it's fentanyl is the problem, this spiked heroin. But when I started, it was crack cocaine. It was crack was all over the city. And then it switched to pills like OxyContin and stuff like that, because all the doctors were over-prescribing in this country. And then once the pills dried up, because the feds cracked down, everyone had to go to heroin because they were all hooked. So then when people went to heroin, then the demand for heroin went through the roof. They couldn't keep up with it, so they started spiking heroin with fentanyl. And now we have the U.S. fentanyl crisis. And that was when I was exiting. I was like, I'm done.
Fucking hell. So cocaine is like white powder that you snort. What's crack cocaine? You burn it.
It's the base of cocaine. So you basically are taking out all the cut, all the chemicals, and you're solidifying it into a solid, pure form of cocaine that you smoke. So, basically that's
it. And what effect does that have on you? Does it make you crazy or make you like sleepy?
It's a crazy upper. Yeah. So it just it's an upper.
And did you have to take that stuff when you're undercover then?
No, I've never smoked weed. I've never used drugs. I've never done anything. I just never got into that scene.
How did you pretend then? How do you pretend that you're...
You have to be...
Because I'd overdo it. I know if someone said, hey, pretend you're on drugs. I know I'd be like, ham acting. Like, I'd go too far.
You don't have to pretend. You just have to have money and you have to seem desperate. That's it.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I mean, the dealers don't want to get to know you that much. They don't want to fucking deal with a bunch of addicts. They just want you to hand over $100 and they're going to give you a rock and send you on your way. Like, they don't want to know you. So like, you don't have to put on a big show. It's very rare that I have to convince somebody that I was who I was playing. Basically, if I was riding around with a car, getting introduced to dealers or whatever, like working my way up the chain, you would have to play it up a little bit, but it was mostly, it wasn't a lot of that.
So you were never in a position where someone was like, what was it? Can you tell me any of your names? Like, what did you pick your own name?
Oh no, you use your first name. You don't use your last name. Choose your first name, because if you're out in public and someone else says, Hey Seth, and you're saying your name is fucking Michael Johnson, you are fucked. So you use your first name. Yep.
That's interesting. That's cool. So you were never in a position then as Seth the drug kingpin to be sitting in a room with people, pass around a pipe, and you have to say no,
but you could do that easily. The simple one is, like, I mean, most addicts are living hit to hit, dose to dose, right? They're going to go steal more and then go buy more. And so if I was going to buy, I could say, hey, I can't use it now, I have to bring this back to my girlfriend or bring this to my friends. Okay. Like, I'm splitting with somebody, like, I can't just use. And they're not in the business of necessarily giving away free product too often for you to try. They're just like, they want you in and out. And you just set this, you can call the shots before you meet with somebody. You can set the terms of how you're going to meet. They might jerk you around a little bit, move your location 3-4 times to make sure, or to make sure that the cops aren't watching. But it was pretty quick and easy for the most
part. You weren't very good at that bit.
Nah, it's hard. It's hard to get away with it in Maine. I mean, Maine is.
I hear if you're desperate enough for drugs, you'd be the one doing the jerking around as well.
that is for sure.
So you said there that you work, work your way up. So did you have, like, was your job to like infiltrate and then try and find who's in charge of who, or what the line of distribution or whatever? This, like, someone said, where is it? Allegra said, my mind is blown. Yeah, like basically what's happening here is I'm talking to someone who did the things that I like watching happen in TV shows and movies. So mm-hmm. I was like, I actually have like this could just derail everything, but we'll go on. Did you have to, because I imagine the hardest thing is if you're ingratiating yourself with people, it's hard to draw a line between like reality and not reality, as in like you'll end up caring for people, or you'll end up like, you know, feeling like you're betraying them, even though you know that that's what you're supposed to do and stuff.
100%. So that was part of the reason that I exited. Actually, I think I got emotionally burned out on the whole situation. You see things you can't unsee. You meet people and you hear their real stories. It's really easy to categorize every drug user as a scumbag or a dealer as a scumbag. But when you get the background, and one of the things I did a lot of was interview. I was a pretty good interviewer because I was young and relatable. I could talk to a lot of these dealers and they'd open up to me. Whereas a hardened cop who's, you know, banging their fists on the table is not getting anywhere with them. So I interviewed a lot of people and the stories are absolutely horrific that put them in the situation. And so now I'm balancing. My job is to collect as much evidence as possible against these people, set them up to put them away for as long as possible, or at least let the law, you know, and the judge dictate what's going to happen. But, you know, I would go to the prosecutor sometimes with cases that I spent weeks putting together and be like, I need to sit with you and tell you the backstory on this kid. He's 23. This is what happened. But here's all the evidence I have against him selling drugs. Like, how would he not have been selling drugs? What other direct, like, what do you do about this? And so it like was a major confliction for me after I went through that time and time and time again, started to feel like I was a part of the problem, not contributing to a solution. And so I think it just burned me out. Cause when you talked about working your way up, basically you get really good at manipulating people and lying to people and telling a story so that, you know, you can either trap somebody in the sense of getting evidence against them. And then they either have to work for you, which is, you know, we had a lot of informants that you get them and say, look, you're going to introduce me to your guy and we're going to be friends potentially. And that, you know, friends. And then, you know, I'm going to work my way through him and then he's going to get the same deal. And I'm going to work my way up until I find out who's bringing it into the state. And so that was the job. But man, when you get the lower level people, it's like, it's depressing.
That's crazy. So when you, how you did it for, what did you say? 8 years.
8 years total.
Six of those were like undercover type.
Five and change was, yeah. Okay. So I only did undercover. Like you don't just work undercover. That's like, that was my primary for the first few years. But after a while, the tale of the young kid with the long chin beard and the piercing in his lip goes around the city pretty quick. And you stop doing that and you start training newer agents. And then I shifted into just like basically meth lab deconstruction. So the last couple of years I was basically like the head of like the main agent for the southern half of the state. If they found a meth lab, I got called out, responded, got in my big suit, took the meth lab apart, collected evidence, stuff like that.
Oh, so it's like the meth lab has been discovered and emptied and then you're breaking it down.
Or we're doing a case and we're going to do a search warrant, because to do a search warrant, you have to trap the guys outside because they can be so hazardous. And then I was the guy that would go in and explore after doing a search warrant and see what's in there.
And did you have to like do training in that to know what was? Okay.
Tons of training. Yeah.
You couldn't just like fuck a grenade in.
No. And they're dangerous too. You don't know what state, especially the way they do them cheap, because they do them in what's called a one pot a lot of times, which is just this rolling meth lab where you have solvent, which is fuel essentially, and then you have lithium, which is highly combustible with any sort of any sort of moisture at all. So if the two interchange, they just create a flamethrower in the in a soda bottle in your hand. It's like, it's extremely dangerous.
So. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, that's why I asked, right? That's why I asked, because I don't know these things. Ortega said kicking down doors is super hard. I don't know, if you've got tree trunks for legs like Ortega, it's probably pretty easy. Probably just kick, like tap it with your toe, blow it off the hinges.
We have rams. I had rams.
Yeah, that's what I call Ortega's legs.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's crazy. I think it's because like from what I know of you is all here. It's all mm-hmm. like CrossFit coaching, your videos to like to camera explaining different movements or sorry, what's good programming or what could do better, blah, blah. So that's my whole like picture of what you are. And then just from chatting to you a bit more, I understand like that, you know, you're into dogs and shit. But I wasn't expecting that to pop up. So when you if you say that in America, I'm just like the cultural difference. If you say that, like I don't think there was ever meth in Ireland. Maybe there is, but I mean I've never done it. Okay. Like just there has to be, or like
yes. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I kind of think we're so far behind. Like, I kind of feel like about 5 years ago, like, there's talk on the news now about, like, geez, cocaine's getting a bit rampant. You know, like, and I feel like that was everywhere, like, 20 years ago. Like,
that was the 80s drug.
For my age group, or, like, younger, you know, like, for the...
Typically in, like, climates that are, I assume... your areas a lot has a lot of the colder weather, the clouds and the rain and the yeah. darker days, that usually comes hand in hand with opiates. So which would be
yeah awesome. Heroin does there's heroin problems. Yeah
That's typically how it goes. And then you go to Miami, the bright lights in the nightclub, and that's where you find more of the uppers, right? So like it actually is quite the drug of choice and ends up becoming quite guessable based on the, you know, people's seasonal depression or lack thereof or whatever. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I just want to show this. So if anybody's interested in like we'll get to CrossFit in a while. But Chase and Bill are going to go through a reaction to 24.2, what it was, how it went.
Nice.
I don't know if you saw Chase's video last week, but he almost died. 24.1. So you might show something similar. So if anyone, I'd rather you stay, but if you want to go and watch it afterwards, or if you feel like you need to go and watch that and come back, we've already lost one. If you feel like you need to come back, do, because like, I mean, those two guys really fucking know what they're talking about. But so does Seth, and we're going to get to CrossFit in a minute. But so when you were quitting then, or when you, like, was this a long, how long before your last day did you think, fuck this, like, I need to get out?
Last couple of years. And I'm not afraid to admit it now. I definitely milked my last couple of years in there. I did my bare minimum, call out, figure out what I had to take care of or whatever. And the rest of the time I was spending my time building my business so I could leave.
Okay. That was CrossFit based.
Yeah. That's the whole Misfit thing.
Okay. Why did you call it Misfit?
Because when we started, there was no gyms, there's no affiliates. So we were like the Cross Misfits was our stupid little thing we called ourselves when we first started. And then we just shortened it to Misfit. And then we actually branded it pretty well.
When is this? What year are we talking here?
I graduated the academy in 2008. So 2009 would have been when we opened our first gym. And then 2010, we moved our first gym from a literal garage in a house to a legit industrial space, and then built from 2010 till I left in 2018 or 19.
All in Maine?
All in Maine. We had three gyms in total at one point. Our main gym was in like the only major city in Maine, Portland. And then we had one like 30 minutes north of Portland. And then we had one like a couple hours north of that we had partners that were running it.
Ortega says, I'm wearing Misfit shirt and joggers right now. Ortega, unless you bought them pre-2018, you're not putting money in Seth's pocket.
Burn that shit.
Here we go. Per Irish Times, that's like our national newspaper. Extensive searching recently regarding Cork and Kerry have discovery of half a ton of crystal meth. Fuck.
There's no way to avoid that. It's everywhere. It's nice that you are ignorant to it. Just stay ignorant to it, because once you start seeing it, you see it everywhere. Like you go, like I have different eyes than you do now. I go into a grocery store, I look at people differently. Don't get into it. Just pretend it's not there. It's easier.
Yeah. That's crazy. Ortega, do you have merch? You have backpacks.
I have all kinds of stuff on the Jumpship training website. I have shirts, I have hats, I have all kinds of shit. Backpacks, everything.
Jumpship. I spelled that wrong.
Jumpshiptraining.com.
All right.
Oh, it is an important question in the chat.
Oh, sorry, one second. I've enlarged my screen by accident. Professional. What's the important question?
Better seafood.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll let you answer that while I fuck around with this. I don't really eat seafood.
Waterville, Maine. That was my gym up north for a short amount of time until we sold it to the coaches up there. Yep. The seafood, better in Maine. That's my opinion. Hawaii, pretty good. Good, but Maine, I'm going to stay loyal to that.
Shop. Oh, yeah. Most people call that store. That's interesting. Oh, wow, yeah. You do have a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're cool. I like that.
I actually don't push this anywhere near as much as I should. We just... my wife does all the stuff. Danny handles all the store stuff. She's very good with this sort of stuff, but I don't do a good job of promoting all her hard work. I should probably.
Oh, that's cool. The cactus, because it's Phoenix in Arizona. Yes. That's cool.
So we have different ones for different gyms, and yeah, we have a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, there you go, Ortega.
Thank you for that.
Let's see if I can put that in here. Can I? Did I? I did. All right. CrossFat, that's such a funny name. I just realized that. With Misfits then, so 2000 and... So that was really like properly... You probably were one of the first to do CrossFit then. Like if you were told to do it, whatever, 4 or 5 years previous to that when you're in the police academy.
So somehow... Well, I think I know how, but anyway, CrossFit... and kind of partnered with the Maine Criminal Justice Academy. I think Maine was the first one to reach out to them and say, we will dedicate our training to CrossFit if you send out a private L1. So they did it a couple of years in a row. They did private L1 for all like the cadre staff at the academy. And then ever since then, they have been, and don't get me wrong, it's not perfect. The cadre, you know, have limited experience in coaching CrossFit, right? They're using a lot of hero wads, benchmark wads, the movements, they're trying to teach the moves. They're doing the best they can with a group of 60 plus cadets every 6 months. But it was certainly effective.
So why did you decide then if that was going to be your business? Like how did you decide that that's what you wanted to do? Or why did you put your eggs into that basket, into coaching and like opening a gym and stuff?
Just loved it. I loved it. I became obsessed when I left the academy and found something that I really liked to do fitness wise. I had never applied myself to something like that before as seriously. So I got super into it, and I never even was competitive. I just loved doing it myself. Never really competed at all. Just loved the feeling. And then it quickly turned that I was not going to be good at this compared to other people around me, which is fine. But I loved helping others with their process. So every moment I wasn't forced to be at work, I was at my gym or, you know, on my computer programming or helping people or whatever. I just loved helping people try to get to that next level that were equally as passionate. And that sounds so corny because that's like such a generic thing. That's literally how I felt. I was so excited to coach people even before I knew what I was doing. I just wanted to coach.
And how were you just naturally adept at coaching then? Were you just naturally adept at teaching? And was it the academy or was it the training in new undercover people and stuff? Like, did that give you it, or where did it come from?
No, I think I just was I just nerded out so hard on the original CrossFit Journal. And then I spent so much time coaching and making my mistakes in person and figuring things out as I went. I spent so much time on it that I just got good at it. And I'm not afraid of, a lot of people, you know, think coaching is just what you know, but it's how you can present it. And I'm certainly not afraid of public speaking. Never have been. I feel good in groups. So group class has not been something that I had to learn how to do. I just can deliver. I just development. I've been doing it a long time. Like 2008 is, it's not super OG, but it's pretty OG compared to the generation now. And the whole time since 2008, 2009, I've been coaching the entire time. I haven't had this big window of time off. I haven't had, I didn't quit CrossFit and then go into another career path and come back like years later. I've been coaching the entire time. And so I've just developed over that time.
Actually, Vindicate. So I was talking about shirts. Actually, this one, which side am I going? This side. There. Train Sentinel. Pretty or cool.
You know, you can train jump ship too.
It's like the Marvel.
It's like it is Guardi- a cool shirt. It is a cool shirt.
Like Guardians of the Methodology on the back. It's cool, isn't it? I like it.
Hey, can you bring Taylor on so me and him can have a programming discussion at some point?
I actually think you'd align very closely on a lot of stuff.
Oh, I talked to Taylor online. I think we probably would.
Taylor's like a remarkable man, like in a lot of ways. More recently, his performances on Taylor Self versus the World are fucking nuts. Like nuts. And I was talking to him the other day and I was kind of saying to him how, like, I love Taylor. He's one of my best friends. I'd like do anything for him. I'd tell him anything. I'd listen to anything from him. Like, really a lot of time for him. And I didn't know wasn't certain I could, but I gained so much respect for him last week and the week before, where I thought, like, he's very outspoken and he's very quick to criticize and he doesn't mince words. And if he thinks someone is shit, he'll say they're shit. And if he thinks someone is bad, he'll say they're bad. And if he thinks someone is good, he'll say they're maybe okay. Like, he's harsh, can come across very harsh. He doesn't give out praise easily. It has to be really earned.
Here's a question. Will he, if he makes a mistake, will he walk it back or will he stand his ground if he knows he's wrong?
No, he will. He definitely won't do it straight away, but he will.
So that's, I think that's the biggest part of it. I think you can do exactly what he's doing, but you
he'll tell you to fuck off. He'll be loud, whatever. But after a couple of minutes, he'll be like, all right, okay. Yeah. You know, like he'll see ground on it. But I mean, whenever he's never wrong when he's talking to me, cause I don't know a fucking thing, but like, the thing is as well, I gained so much respect for him because like he was to agree to do this and knowing the attention that Sivan can bring to things. So then the attention that was going to be brought to this, the pressure to deliver for Sivan, who he like loves and admires, the group that will be watching it, the comments on Sivan's shows are always, there's always people in there being like, fuck you, Taylor, like always. So there's people willing him to fail. There's people outside of, that circle, we'll say, willing him to fail because it's something to do with Sivan. So that brings more pressure.
Right.
Then you have the fact that he's essentially putting his, not his career, but like his legitimacy as a pundit on the line as well. Because if he fucks up 3 weeks in a row, or if he bombs 3 weeks in a row, what can he say about Jason Hopper at the games? Or what can, you know, like there's an instant rebuttal then for forever. It's like, well, you had your chance and look what you did. So I gained a lot of respect for him for putting himself on the line like that in so many, like physically and like career wise and just like reputation wise and brand wise and whatever. But like, man, it's fucking nuts how entertaining it is, how good it is. It's like Josh Morello hit it on the nail on the head the other day when he was like, it's like two prize fighters, no holds barred, just fucking go and knock lumps of shit out of each other until it's time and then talk about it afterwards. Like it's incredible. It shows two things. It shows like his legitimacy as an athlete and the things that he says hold weight, but it also shows the magnitude of the mistake that was made when CrossFit fired Sivan. It shows the like the glaring magnitude. Like if he can do that with that budget and that group of people basically doing stuff because he's asking them to do it, and it's not employees, it's not a company. Imagine what he could do if he was still there.
The problem, I agree, and I'm a huge Sivan fan. As you know, I'm going through all his old work on my YouTube channel, right? Like I agree, but that's not what CrossFit wants anymore. It's different CrossFit. Greg's CrossFit is not today's CrossFit.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a market there for it. Look at everybody that's watching that. Look at like that's the best content to come out in the last. Apart from like behind the scenes is different, and you know, like the other content is different, but in this sort of thing. Workout type thing is the best content by.
I would like it better too, but I understand why they did what they did. I believe me, no one likes old CrossFit more than me. I would love it to still be portrayed that way, but I'm like, I guess I'm having a coming to terms year. I got so fucked up after COVID with CrossFit. I had been in it 12 years at that point when COVID happened and shut things down and things started to change. I don't know what else happened, but I got so like withdrawn from the sport. I got so just disinterested at that point. It became like,
everybody.
Too many other distractions. And it took me a couple years to get pulled back in by the media from guys like you, Savon, others, because the CrossFit media wasn't pulling me back in. What they were doing wasn't. But this third party stuff is way pulling me back in and maybe like rejuvenating my passion in a big way. And then, so that's kind of, you know, got me doing this, talking to my old friends like China and others and going through old stuff, old competitions, old media, about the way it used to be, because it's reigniting my passion. And I'm trying to have this like realization that what I'm going to see today through CrossFit's not what I saw back then, but I'm trying to be okay with everything, if that makes sense.
The shirts. So...
Oh, how good is that?
It's but, so funny.
Yeah, like I want to go dig out the old CrossFit Journal articles that made me what I am, and I'm gonna do a boring ass reading of some of them. I'm gonna talk about the nuance of them and how they're applied. I'm just like going to go through old stuff forever and just share it, because I think it's so applicable to today and so overlooked, and I just don't know what people are. If someone got into CrossFit today and wanted to open a gym and all that, I don't know what they're focusing on. I don't know what they're driving force is, other than I want to help people. Okay, but you know, is that passion going to last? Like my passion's lasted a long time.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, because I think part of the reason that kind of third party group are so I don't include myself in this, so I'm not calling myself successful, but are so successful and so good at drawing people in is because built on the model that CrossFit was built on, where it's outsiders who aren't involved, where it's people who aren't getting access to stuff that they need to make it easy, so they make their own way. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the behind the scenes was just added to the games page like 2 days ago or three days ago, and it's been up, you know, like it's been out for so long, and like Hiller's been making unbelievable stuff for the last like 3 or 4 months, like for longer, but I mean specifically for the last 3 or 4 months. And like yesterday or whatever, CrossFit Games accepted a collaboration on a video we made about Hayley Adams. You know, like there's, I don't know. It's just like, it's tricky. Like, and it's not, I'm not saying this as a like, oh, like poor me or whatever, but it's just like, I think there's an element of collaboration that like, I used to bemoan it. I used to complain or like be upset about the fact that you do something and it's seen. And then it's like, nah, like we'd rather show this. And it's like, right, but that's the same as every other fucking thing you've shown for the last like 4 years. Like, mm-hmm. maybe just try something different. But now it's like, all right, well, and I'm a long way away from this, but my aim is to make my content so good that it can't be ignored. And if it's still ignored, at least I know it's as good as I can possibly make it. Like, I can't go beyond what I'm, you know what I mean? Like, there's a line.
Ignored by who, though? Ignored by who? Ignored by CrossFit or ignored by the CrossFit community?
CrossFit, I think. I don't think it's ignored. I don't think anything is ignored by the community. I think you'll always find pockets. Yeah. But I think the powers at large, this isn't necessarily a criticism, but like the power at large have a certain idea of what they want to show, and they have a certain viewpoint that they want to show, and they have certain people that they like showing it from. And then they have other people and they're like, nah. Like, regardless, you know, I just think, I don't know, there's stories to be told, and I think a lot of the stories are like... Yeah, there's athlete stories and there's cool stuff from, you know, fan favorites and stuff, but then there's cool stories from affiliates and there's cool stories from, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I don't know. There's a lot left on the table, I think. A lot of opportunities left on the table.
I think the biggest at least from the CrossFit Games perspective, the biggest letdown in media is not highlighting the athletes that are going to be competing at the highest level. Those top heat or two athletes are not being, their lives are not as highlighted. They're not, their stories are not told.
Like the road to the game stuff kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And that could be done better because I want to know who I'm rooting for, not just based on, I need a reason. I want to know who I'm going to root for this year. You know, if I'm not working with an athlete who's competing, I want to know, you know, who I should be rooting for, and for what reasons I'm rooting for them. That's the same reason I talk about this. Like, I don't even watch boxing that much. And now boxing is becoming kind of a joke with the whole like Jake Paul thing. But before, they used to have like the HBO would do like the series about between the two fighters, showing them leading up to this prize fight. I'd watch that and I would get so pumped for a fight I couldn't give a shit about before that. But because I watched the info about the people, I then liked who I liked and didn't like who I didn't like. And then when they went to compete, I had this like, I had to watch, I had this reason to root. And that's what brought me into it. And the same thing needs to happen at the games. I'm not just going to watch. Well, I will, but a casual fan won't just watch the games to watch the games. A casual fan needs a person that they know is competing, that they're going to see what time they're going down, watch the stream, maybe travel out there one year. They need a reason, someone to step behind and be behind their favorite team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're not building that well as we could.
Like Will says, UFC Embedded is crazy good for
this. Yes. Exactly.
But even like Drive to Survive, I couldn't give a fuck about cars or Formula One, but it's like I know the name of every driver because of that show and I'm invested in it. And I like, if there's Formula One on the TV, I will historically have like moved faster than the fucking cars to change the channel. Whereas now I'm like, oh, I wonder like who, you know, who do I know here? Who, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I've watched like Prime have like Man City, Tottenham, Arsenal, like they've all these like all or nothing shows with football teams. And like, I've cared about football teams that I couldn't give a fuck about before. Right. There's like, even just Hiller's video with Haley Adams, that video made me care more about Hiller, Haley, the other Haley, Josh, the owner of that affiliate. Do you know what I mean? I cared more about five or six people there than prior to that. I was just like, yeah, like good for her. She's back.
See, I think that's the reason. I don't think a lot of people have mentioned it, but that's the reason that video is good, because of that. It actually brings that sort of like emotional connection. And then once you follow her, then you become loyal to her and you're rooting for her. And now you have a fan base. Like those sort of things can help build for these top athletes. And I think more of that should be done, but
yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it's a simple fix, but I don't know. But I think as well, it's funny because there's so many of us that are willing to do it for nothing. You know, it's like, it's not as if they're like, oh, we don't really have the budget for that. It's like, Hiller went and did that himself. Like,
yeah,
Sivan organized this, like Taylor versus the World himself, you know, or themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, Will is going down to, like, I don't know if you've, have you watched the streams live, like the Taylor, or like watch back the live stream.
Yeah.
Like that's him. That's Will that's doing all of that, like setting all the cameras up, setting up. And it's like one of the most professional streams you'll see.
That's awesome.
It's like the broadcast is unbelievably good.
I know exactly what's going on the whole time.
Yeah, it's crazy good. Mm-hmm. Crazy good. Commentary is so good. Like John Young, so good. Whoever else is with him, Hiller, whoever else, so good. It's just perfect. It's perfectly pitched. And it's the armchair viewer. It's like the red button commentary. I don't know if you have that there. You know, like the optional commentary that you change to from the real commentary. So like,
yes,
you don't want, like, I don't want to, no disrespect, but I don't want to watch Sean Woodland talk. Like, I don't want that official, like, you know, clean cut, like whatever. I want the like,
counterculture.
You fucking idiot. You know, like I want that. That's what I want. Cause I want to feel like I'm sitting there with them watching it.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah. It's just perfectly, perfectly pitched.
I think people like you, hopefully at some point people like me, if I can get my shit together. But like, I think there's something to making this media that's more than just like, I might be going down a weird road here, but more than just because we love CrossFit. I think personally, at least for me, it's a bit therapeutic to do these videos and have these discussions and talk through things with you. You brought up my parents' divorce today. You think I'm going to talk about that randomly? Like, no. So like me having discussions, random podcasts, going through stuff I watched or read in the past, rediscovering them and then rediscussing them, just it's almost like It's the only version of therapy that I'm going to go to at this point in my life. So like for me, being able to talk and put it out there publicly, hear people respond to it, respond back is like, A, it's part of my social life. B, it's part of just me like growing as a person, just having these discussions, because these discussions are hard to have when you walk up to a random friend on the street or in the gym or whatever else. We're not going to have a long form dialogue like this almost anywhere else in our life. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get to go through this. So I think even setting up a stream, like you talked about for, I think Savan loves that shit. I think selfishly that just like gives him so much personal value in doing that. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's fulfilling. And so I think we do this because it's self-fulfilling in a lot of ways. And I think if you're not getting that sort of gratification, you won't be doing it that long. Yeah. It won't be worth it in the end, no matter what you're getting paid or being compensated. I don't know. Do you feel that way when you have these discussions with people? And you're probably, I would imagine you probably open up more if the conversation goes a certain way and be a bit more vulnerable on a show than you might be in just a random conversation with someone at a gym.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a totally different, like a switch flicks when, for me anyway, a switch, I'm sure it does for other people as well in different ways, but when it goes live, like when I see the red thing in the corner, a switch flicks and it's like, I won't not say something. Do you know what I mean? I won't like, whereas if I'm talking to someone at work and they ask me how my weekend was, I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. Whereas here, I'll open up and answer because I guess for a litany of reasons, like one, I don't want there to be dead air. Like two, right. I don't want it to be awkward. Three, I want to, you know, as you say, it's kind of therapeutic to just share and like talk or whatever. That sounded kind of lame, but you know what I mean?
No.
But it's, I think something that you touched on there that's really important is like someone messaged me. I put up a question box like every so often because apparently it's good for engagement. But someone asked me a question recently. They were like, what's the best way to, I can't remember the wording. Sorry if you asked this and I'm getting it wrong, but it was basically like, what's the best way to build a brand or to build a voice like this type of thing in the CrossFit space? And I was like, you're thinking about it all wrong. If you're trying to build a brand, you're either going to be successful and incredibly disingenuous, or you're going to fail and fall flat on your face and embarrass yourself. And it's you can cultivate certain things. Like Savan, if you watch one of his shows, there are certain things you would expect to see. There are certain like jokes that are referenced or things like historical things that are referenced and things that come back up and stuff like that. Same with Hitter's videos. There's like little pop-ups that are like, oh, that's like, I remember that from the 400 other videos or whatever. But like, it has to just organically, if it doesn't organically happen, if it's contrived or if it's forced or if it's like, oh, I need to be funny. Like I need to say something funny because then people will laugh and they might come back, or I need to get this person to open up. And I used to do that. Like when I started first, I'd be like, right, I need to get this person to say something they've never said on another show so that it's different or whatever. And then I quickly realized that you just end up looking like a dick if you're like, you know, like, so tell me about like, that time you touched wieners with another dude or whatever. Right. Like it's just like forcing this like weird conversation. But yeah, no, I think it's like, it's just, that's the pitfall that a lot of people fall into, is that like, one, they think it's going to be easy. Two, they think that all you have to do is just like press record or press play and it's done. That's the job taken care of. And then three, I think people think that they're going to be immediately compensated somehow, or it's going to be right. Like, you know, what, you started a podcast. Well, here's flights and tickets to Texas. Enjoy the games. You know, like that's not how it works. Like you have to, like it's fucking hard and you have to like grind and try and get access or try and get like someone to support or try and find a way to make it easier, make it better, make it, you know, work better or whatever. And like, I think a lot of people just see like, well, anyone could do a podcast. Like go fucking do it then. Like yeah. If anyone can do it, go and do it and see what happens. You know, like it's not as easy as just, you're like you said yourself, you're finding out now, trying to schedule things and organize things and whatever. It quickly gets tricky, especially when it's just like one or two people.
Yep. And again, I think you just made the point, right? That's why you'll be here. That's why you'll be successful, because you're willing to just kind of put yourself out there and not have these unrealistic expectations. And you're not playing a character either. I can't stand that. Like most podcasts, I think people are doing this inflated version of themselves or making up things about themselves so that they can clip it up, put it on social media and try to get clout from, you know, being outrageous or funny or whatever. But like the people who are genuine, I think will attract the best audience, the audience that will stick with you long term. And so, yeah, I'd rather just have a few people watching me if they actually care about what I'm saying versus trying to gain a bunch of attention, even though I kind of make some outrageous social media posts, but I actually stick behind all the shit I say. So if I'm saying it on Instagram, I mean it. I might present it in a funny way, but I mean it. So
Ortega said he's going to send you a DM. Maybe it's because we talked about touching wieners. Maybe that's what he's...
I'm no expert, but I'll try to work through it with you.
So Misfits took off then, and you were kind of doing like, we'll just revert back to like 25 minutes ago when we were talking about that.
Sure.
You were doing, so you had in person and you were doing like online programming as well then, or not yet?
Yeah. Basically when we started the first like official gym in an industrial space in 2010, our focus was more about the game stuff. We were kind of obsessed with like the 2008, 2009 CrossFit games and, you know, downloading those clips and the Every Second Counts documentary. And then our focus became trying to help people get better at whatever level of competing they wanted to get better at, whether it was the Open was coming the following year. We didn't realize until then, but there was sectionals back then, regionals, you know, games, all that stuff. So we just, our focus was on that. And for a couple years, we were kind of doing it within our gym, but we'd had people who would drop in, say, I heard about you guys. I'm in town. I want to check it out. I want to compete, do this. So we started emailing people programs we were writing, just figuring it out. We didn't know. We didn't really have anything to base it off of. And then it just grew.
Who's we?
Me and a couple of the guys who are still over at Misfit.
Okay.
Group of us. Yep. So the everyone at Misfit is all the original people still, minus me.
Okay.
We started a website, and then we were one of the first like websites that were offering like legitimate competitor programming back in like 2011, 2012. It was us, Invictus. There was no Comp Train. There was no, it wasn't even What's Rich Doing yet. That wasn't even a thing yet. There was no Hard Work Pays Off. There's no Proven. We were one of the first three big ones. We had a lot of the market share back then, and we did really well for a while growing that.
Outlaw, that was another one, wasn't it?
Outlaw was probably the first, and unfortunately Rudy just didn't handle his shit well, and so he missed out on what could have been a huge opportunity. He had a huge following. A couple of the guys that are now still at Misfit were like Outlaw people before Misfit. I wasn't, but some were.
Okay. And how did Jump Ship come around then? You said you were there till like 2018, so that's roughly like 10 years.
Yeah, spent about 10 years building that up. To sum up the Misfit
spin is saying, spin is saying it in less politically correct terminology than you were.
Yes. Yep. That's a fair way to put it. Whatever. So around 2016, we started having differences of opinions on how to run a company that was growing pretty well, doing good revenue, multiple gyms. Me and my main business partner, just we started seeing things differently, approaching things differently. It worked for a couple of years, and then after a little while, I went to him one day and said, hey, I'm going to be moving. I said, I'll do my, right now I write 100% of the program. Because I did after the first couple of years. I basically was the sole programmer for Misfit the entire time. And then I said, you know, I'll keep writing programming. I'll call in, we'll do videos for the media or whatever, but I can't stay here anymore. It's too much for me. The tension's too much. No one's happy. It was a miserable place those last couple of years. Everyone was fucking miserable. And whether it's my fault, their fault, whatever, we just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore. And so I decided to move. And so I was with my then wife. We decided, she was my girlfriend then, but we moved together to Florida and bought a gym down there that was for sale. And within, you know, 3 months of doing that, I thought we had an arrangement where I was going to work remotely and where everything was going to be all good because we wouldn't have to be down each other's throat every day. They called me one day and said, you're out. Fuck you.
What percentage of the company did you own?
I own 33%. We had sold off small bits to little partners, and I owned 50% of the gyms. But I was, without getting into the legal side of it, illegally frozen out, and then turned into a year and a half of lawyers and battles and shit like that. And at a certain point, they wore me out. I just took a really crap offer to stop paying legal bills and stop dealing with it. Instead of going to some big court thing, I just said, I got to be done. Took a really shitty offer and immediately launched Jump Ship right after.
So say, I don't want specific numbers. I mean, I'll take them if you're going to give them, but say if you were due like 100% of what you were due, what did you end up with? Like 10%, 50%?
I was probably given about, in my estimates, between 25 and 33% of what I should have been paid. I probably took to get out of it. And I lost more because I had to, just to end it. I lost more because I had to pay lawyer fees the whole time to communicate, whatever. They wouldn't communicate with me without lawyers at that point. They knew that was going to run me dry. So they cut me off, froze me out.
What Seth means is Seth believes that you could have a good elite program in 90 minutes or less, and the other people did not. Could be wrong, but that's what I remember.
Well, the most popular version of the program that I was writing then, we called it Hatchet, because I used to write competitor program, which like everyone else is doing 2 to 3, sometimes 4 hours of training in a day.
Well, Misfits like Sharpen the Axe, isn't it? And that's the thing.
Hatchet. That's their clothing brand.
So Hatchet is linked to off. That somehow.
Yeah, Misfit was getting a bunch of, I won't talk about it. That's their clothing brand. And shit, was it going to say? Oh, so the most popular.
You know it's juicy when you talk about his parents' divorce, but he won't talk.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know what? Some things are not worth rehashing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's just, you can get me really fired up if I had like 2 drinks. Then you get a whole different show. What the hell are we talking about? The program. So the most popular one was called Hatchet, and it was basically a 90-minute version, but you couldn't really do it 90. It was like 90 to 2 hours of the main competitor program. And so when I was planning what I wanted to do next for my next programming company, my wife and I sat down and we're like, you know, let's make this simple. Like, what's the most bang for your buck? Who do you like coaching the most? And I was like, I like coaching that athlete that wants to be competitive and take the step to the next level and then potentially further than that. And so my whole thing is most people, the vast, vast, overwhelming majority have no business training for 2 hours in the gym or more. They just don't. They won't survive. They'll get run down. They'll get injured. They'll get beat up. It's unsustainable. But 90 minutes is kind of the sweet spot where if you're really, really good, you can handle the 90 with high intensity. It's usually 3 pieces within that 90-minute window, and then maybe one more a couple of times a week. If you're not that good, I have a 60-minute version. And if you're kind of, you know, you're getting to quarterfinals, you might be trying to make a move to semis, or maybe you're just getting into semis, you know, 90 minutes is probably your sweet spot if you're well-balanced in your training. And so that's what the whole Jump Ship thing is. It's 90 minutes in and out, written on the clock, so on and so forth. Oh, geez. And
here's one drink for Seth. Let's get him fired.
Dude, we haven't even gotten into some stories yet, but maybe that's another day. We get into some.
Wait, so is Jump Ship as in like you jumped ship? Like that's where the.
So that was, it was me. That's my wife's idea, actually, the name of the company. But it was me saying, hey, leave those motherfuckers, come with me. I was the one writing the program the whole time anyway. It's like,
okay.
So it was like trying to
jump ship and like, yeah, swim to me kind of thing.
Like, okay. Yeah. So it was like a little like my nudge back at everything they had kind of put me through at that point. But she's really good at branding and ideas. I like the idea. And so we just kind of ran with the whole theme of it and we stuck with it. And it's, people know about it. So it's working.
How many times have you been married?
Just once.
Okay. You said my then wife.
Oh, I meant to say, so like
my now wife, then girlfriend. Now wife.
Okay. Yeah, then girlfriend. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. And okay. So then what about since, have you ever been at a competition? I'm trying to think. Drew, that's the guy that runs Misfits now, isn't it? Drew. Yeah. Yep. I called him something else before. it's going to annoy me now. Annoyingly, the other name that I had for him. Oh, Chad. That's what I was calling him. And I had no, I don't know where it came from. It was just like Drew and Chad to me are in the same bracket of like American names.
That's fair.
And I was at Lowlands and one of my friends was with me and I was like, oh, that's Chad from Misfits. And I think he was coaching like Luka Jukic maybe at the time or something. And I went over to him and said, like, I called him Chad, like, to his face. And I also, pretty sure I talked about him on a podcast before and called him Chad then as well. Yeah, I don't know, just the two, I don't know, they're just in the same bracket of, I probably have Seth in that bracket too, of like just classic four letter American type names. Have you bumped into them since, or have you like been at a competition, at the same competition or anything like that?
Oh yeah. They go, they go head down other direction at 100 miles an hour.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So say if they nodded and said hello, would you be courteous back?
I tried nodding and saying hello a couple times. The last few times I've seen him, just give him the head nod. Hey man. And completely ignored, head down, run away. I just did it at the last, I can't remember which comp it was. A guy I used to be, he wasn't even involved in the drama. He's not even an owner. He's a coach. And I tried like just being like, how's it going? And he like, nope, gone. I was like, what the fuck?
It's crazy. It's crazy how like, I was going to say my parents even talk to each other in their divorce, but my dad doesn't talk to my mom, so I can't use that example. But like, it's crazy how, like say for that guy, like you say, not directly involved. I mean, you're like, you know, you don't know what's being said to him behind closed doors or whatever.
Wow, I can imagine what's being said.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like, sometimes I guess that can happen as well, where there's an assumed awkwardness that then turns into an actual awkwardness. And then it's like, you don't talk for like 5 years and it's like, well, why have you not talked? It's like, well, I don't know. We just never do. You know, like it becomes a thing. So it's like, for that guy.
Behind closed doors, I've been motherfucked, you know, constantly. Like I am the axis of evil. You know what I mean? They make sure that that's been spread because I have friends back home still. I have a lot of friends back home, some of which go to that gym still, but a lot of them don't. But you know, over the years, the things have got back to me that have been said, I'm just like, why? Like, it's not even necessary. Why are you doing that? And so it's like, yeah, but whatever. It's again, I don't, until you brought it up today, I don't think about it. I'm pretty happy with all the shit I'm working on, 5 gyms and the online company and everything else. Like I surround myself with work, and my wife helps keep me on track with that. She's quite a worker. And so we do that. We're freaking busy. So I'll say this too. Last thing, best thing that ever happened to me was getting frozen out of that company, because I would have stayed there till I rotted out or till the company went belly up. And I've grown so much more than I could have ever done trying to get it through the partners and make it happen. Without the partners, I have the freedom between me and my wife to get shit done. We have grown, like I said, we've grown 5 gyms now between the two of us in an online company where I make, I don't know, 5 times more per month than I ever did with that company. So like, best thing that ever happened, really tough time going through the breakup, but worked out anyway.
Interesting. So it was kind of becoming corporate then, like it was a board kind of.
No, it became a fucking party for everybody. It was money being spent as fast as we were earning it. And I quit my career to go run that thing. And I wasn't getting paid shit. I couldn't, I had no future. I quit my career, gave up my retirement, all that stuff to go be a part of that. And the money was being spent on frivolous things faster than we could make it.
What type of frivolity?
Travel. We used to do the training camps. One of the things we were known for was training camps. We'd travel around and we would sell out at other gyms between 40 and 60 things. We'd spend so much money to try to make everybody comfortable, to travel a certain way, live a certain way there, go out to eat a certain way there, that you come back with no profit. International ones were even worse. And then everyone and their brother wanted to travel on our dime to the competitions. You know how much travel is. Imagine trying to pay for 8 to 10 people to travel every regional when there was 3 weekends of regionals, every Wodapalooza style event. Like, and then, you know, all the other stuff you do. And then clothing companies you use Vindicate, which is really smart because they do, you know, they handle your inventory, all that stuff. Sharpen the Axe is a burn money. You have to buy so much inventory and hope to sell it. I'm not supposed to be talking about this shit. Can move on. Move on. Business is hard. I learned a lot of hard business lessons through that. And again, I don't know what they're doing.
Thanks, Allegra.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing now. I hope they're doing fine. I don't want anything bad to happen. That is my Misfit's still my baby. I created that. I came up with the idea for the name.
Is it weird when you're, say, if you're scrolling on Instagram and you see like Misfit, something to do with Misfits or a Misfit athlete or a vlog or a whatever popping up? Is it like, does it give you a weird, because it must be like a mixed emotion, because I imagine it being like, if I was like taken, if someone bought me out of this, say, I don't know why the fuck they would, but if someone bought me out of this and like pushed me out, I imagine I feel like we'd share a lot of the same emotions, like there'd be bitterness, anger, like kind of grief, stages of grief or whatever. Yeah. But I feel like after that, when everything has died down, I think I'd still have crazy mixed emotions of, I'd be very judgmental of anything I saw that had like any of the kind of branding attached. Like I'd be like, that's not how I do it. Or they shouldn't have done that. Or that's shit. Like I wouldn't even be able to see if it was good. I'd just be like, that sucks balls. Like it's terrible. And it could be the best thing ever. Like the CPW CrossFit Games, they've like built it to a huge company that can sponsor CrossFit Games. And I'm like, that's a piece of shit. Like I wouldn't have done that.
100%. And so, and I have that reaction, even though I don't want to think that way. So I just don't follow that shit. If I see it, I just see it and I go, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, they're in the nicest way. They're not killing it the way we used to. They don't have any market share the way we used to. All the other big name companies have run them over. So they're in the market against Mayhem. Hard work pays off. Proven. They're still trying to program for competitors and take competitors to semis in the games. Why you would want to compete in that market right now against people who are putting literal millions of dollars up for media and travel and things like that and have endless resources? Stupidity. That's why I'm not competing in that market.
Yeah.
So
interesting. See, that's what you're talking about with the kind of genuine conversations, and then stuff kind of comes out that you know, like that otherwise if I was standing like, well, no, I don't think it's bad.
No, it's not. It's, I didn't say anything bad. Yeah, it is.
But I think as well, it's like if I was, so if we were out for coffee or something, yeah, that might come up. But if I was standing with a mic in your face, you know what I mean? Like you kind of like people automatically clam up or get a bit nervous or whatever. And I, as the person holding them, I probably wouldn't ask that question because it's like, oh, he's going to tell me to fuck off. So I'm not going to ask that. But like when you have this kind of longer form chat, you can meander. Like I kind of, like there's a nuance to it where I don't want to give away my tricks of trade, but like I was always going to bring that up. Like I knew that that was going to come up at some point. Like if it didn't come up organically, I was going to bring it up. And then I brought it up like four times there. I brought it up the first time and I felt a bit of resistance, so I moved past it. And then I came back again a second time and there was less resistance. So I was like, I'll leave it for a minute and I'll come back again. And then when Allegra put in that comment and you laughed at it, I was like, all right, he's good to go. I can ask him. Like he's gonna say something if I ask. He won't like
back off. That's skills. Good job.
But like, yeah, there's nuance to it. So you have five gyms now.
Yep.
So Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, Hawaii, yep. Two in Hawaii.
Three on Oahu and one in Maui.
Wow. Is Maui named after the Moana character?
No. I don't think that's the correct order. No, it's in Lahaina. It's in Lahaina where you know, the fires just happened and all that. So
Opened one like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
That's Lahaina, yeah. So we partnered with some people over there who are trying to get a gym going for the community because there's no CrossFit gym now since the fires. And so we kind of help them. They're running the show. We own, you know, we're 50-50 partners with them. We help them with the back end stuff. We set up, we do the branding. We set everything up. We set the, you know, all the business things we take care of. They're the in-person coaches, the day-to-day stuff. And it's working good so far.
Oh, that's cool. So Arizona and then four in Hawaii.
Yep.
Wow. And is there plans to expand further in America? Like, or?
Dude, every time I get a gym, I'm like, no more gyms. Please, God, no more.
And
gyms.
Do people come to you, or do you see, are you like looking at like whatever the Facebook marketplace equivalent of gyms is?
No, I am trying to stay away from it. People come to me with ideas, opportunity. And frankly, you know, I've owned this. The one I just started is my ninth gym. I've done this nine times. My wife has three that she did before me and a bunch we've done together. So between the two of us, we have 12 different ownership gym experiences in CrossFit. And so we have a system of what we like, what we know works, and the way we want to implement it. So if someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, I want to do this. I want to buy this. Here's how I want to do it. Like, do you have any advice? We'll give info. And then sometimes it turns into us partnering with them and setting it up for them and allowing them to use our branding. Because I don't have the world's strongest brand, but JumpShip is reasonably recognizable in the CrossFit space. And so, you know, people know what they're getting in terms of me and the programming and stuff like that. And they like to use the branding. So
do you do the affiliate programs for all the JumpShip affiliates then?
Yes. So we have like 50 something gyms around the world that follow the Jumpship class program right now.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
And how many individual athletes do you have?
Individuals across all the programs, there's like 1300 subscribers.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, we do all right. Yeah. So people have been so freaking loyal to me through the whole Misfit thing, and then coming over and then sticking with me when they could try a million other.
That's programs. Remarkable, really. Like, that has to be stated, that in 6 years from start essentially from scratch, and asking people to, like, figuratively and literally jump ship.
Yeah.
The pull you must have had, or the loyalty you must have had from those people to do it, and then the determination to keep growing until, like, that's a remarkable number. In, as you say, the competition that you're up against is pretty overwhelming. So it's like incredibly impressive.
And I still lose people. I still have churn rate like every other program, and I still get new people. I'm like, new people. This is crazy. And I don't know. Why would you choose me over these other big brands that can infiltrate your feeds and feed you endless, endless media, you know? Like, but people trust me, and they like what I do, and they like my format, and they know that I'm going to deliver in workouts, and they know that, here's the big thing, I'm the one writing the workouts. I write the workouts. These other big brands, these coaches are now finally coming forward and talking about who's writing the workouts. But you know, at the beginning, you were thinking you were getting programming from Rich, from, I guess you were at one point, probably Shane, from Matt. But quickly, they realized writing programming is super time consuming and takes a ton of effort to make it quality and consistently good and, like, just changed all the time without repeating things. Like, it takes a ton of time and focus and know-how. So they farmed it all out to people. They brought people in who they can pay a lot less. And now that every one of these big programs has coaches under them with a fraction of the experience that I have writing the programs for them. People realize that. And so they keep coming back to me knowing what they're going to get from 16-year CrossFit competitive programmer who literally created a career of creating programs for CrossFitters for himself or some kid that they hired to pay $60,000 a year to write their programs for. So.
Wow, you think you get $60,000 a year writing programs?
I fucking hope those guys are making that. Those coaches are making that, or I don't know what they're doing with those companies. They make a lot of money. They spend a lot of money, but they make a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just like you mentioned, the churn rate. It's just like numbers. It's a pure numbers game for those kind of companies. Sure. I think yourself and, like, Taylor are probably more unique in the space of, like, agreed. It's. You know, like, it says it on the back of his t-shirt, like, Guardians of the Methodology. Like, that's all he cares about is, like, is this CrossFit? Like, that's all he looks at when he sees a workout, when he sees a program, when he sees something. He's just like, is this CrossFit? That's his first question. It's never like, you know, well, what's the best way to build fast Twitch? He's just like, right, is it CrossFit first and foremost? And then how can I make it more CrossFit if it's not CrossFit enough? And how can I, you know, like, and he's like, and anything I'm saying about him, I feel like I'm saying about you as well. It's like incredibly gifted programming and true as possible to the original journal articles, the original, like, he reads those too, you know, like, it's, you know, it's no coincidence.
It's a great way for that's an awesome foundation to have. And then from there, you know, you branch out with your style and ways you've seen things work and you apply things. The programming world got ruined, or it is still a little bit ruined, by the trajectory of CrossFit, how fast it grew, especially the sports side of things, and all the strength and conditioning coaches that had other gigs that came pouring into CrossFit, brought all their old methods into CrossFit and tried to redial what CrossFit training should look like for higher level athletes. And for the highest level, there's some merit to that, the highest level, but there's a tiny micro fraction of athletes at the highest level, and everybody else should literally be doing CrossFit.
Yeah.
Should be doing CrossFit to get better at CrossFit. And I'll argue that forever.
I think Taylor's the same. I know I keep talking about him, but it's because I do his programming and I talk to him a lot about it. But a potential debate topic I have in my head is, like, what, I don't know what the percentage would be, but the vast majority of people who do CrossFit have absolutely no need, if they're in an affiliate, to be doing anything else. If they do need to be doing something else, they need to find a different affiliate. But they don't need, most people, myself included, if I was at an affiliate, that should be enough for me as, like, someone who goes to gym 5-6 times a week and trains. That should be enough for me for health and longevity. Absolutely. And most people 99.9% of people who do CrossFit don't need an hour, 90 minutes, 2 hours extra additional programming to follow. They don't need to be in the corner of Open Gym doing HWPO. They should just be doing what's on the whiteboard with the rest of the class, and that should be enough. And I think it's very quick that people, because what they see on Instagram and what they see on YouTube, and because they're comparing themselves to like Brooke Wells or whatever, and they think, well, she's doing all this accessory work, I should be doing accessory work because I want, like, no, dude, calm the fuck down. Like, you are not going to the games. So why don't you just do the shit that's on the board, do that really well? Why don't you go to bed, get 8 hours of sleep? Why don't you like eat meat and fruit? You know what I mean? Like, why don't you eat meat and veg, little fruit? You know, like, just follow the poster.
Yep.
You'll probably be okay.
You'll definitely be okay. Yeah, it is. It's pretty simple. And if you want to point a finger at somebody for fun to blame the competitive side of things just going absolutely haywire in what was once do the workout of the day, maybe do a lift too, into do six pieces a day, you can point your finger directly at Sivan. You want to know why?
Why?
I say this in an endearing way. He created that little mini documentary, Day in the Life of Rich Froning, where he followed him around and highlighted Rich's obsessiveness with training 3, 4, 5 times a day back in the early 2010s, 11s, that range there. And people thought, after seeing that, because Rich was just recently crowned the champion, that was the way it had to be for everybody. It's not the way. But because that's what started, it's an amazing piece. Sivan said he'd go on the show with me and go through
it. Amazing.
Which I cannot wait for. We're going to break down that whole thing because it's such a influential piece of the CrossFit Games history that people don't talk about. They don't realize what this did. It showed everybody the next year how much they thought they had to train to go attack Rich. And year after year, Rich kept winning and winning. And people tried to do more and more and more to keep up with Rich. And those people are now coaching other CrossFit Games athletes and telling them the same thing. And it's this perpetual volume is better, more is better thing that spread like a virus after that single video that is still in the culture today. And people are trying to dial it back. And some coaches are doing a good job, but the main message is not being really changed that much since that video came out. So very cool.
So but people should go to YouTube. And if you search Jump Ship Training, and then if you click on, so like there's loads of videos, but if you click on live, that's where the lives are of going through the old media. And you're saying Sivan is going to be like here then soon.
We said after the open at some point. Also subscribe to my channel if you wouldn't mind. I have a deal with my wife. Once I get to a certain amount of subscribers, I'm not going to tell you how many, she's going to let me buy a whole setup so I can have a nice little official mic and a camera and all that stuff. But she's not letting me spend any company money nice. Until I get some subscribers up. So help me out, will you? You already subscribed. Look at that.
Unsubscribe.
Oh, no.
I'm joking. If you told me what the number was, as soon as it gets there, I just unsubscribe.
I'm not telling anyone what the number is.
I'm actually selling some old stuff. I don't know what the shipping is to Hawaii or whatever. But yeah, I've upgraded some of my stuff. So if anyone wants to buy my old stuff off
Let's talk.
I'm doing my affiliate tour now at the minute. I was in Galway last week, Tullamore this week, and I'm going to Mullingar this week coming. So if you ever want to bloat your company and fly someone over from Ireland to cover your 5 Hawaiian affiliates.
That would be so fun.
Imagine how much that would cost. That'd be fucking stupid. I feel like you need to come back on. We still have more stuff we need to talk about. Like I've genuinely I don't know, maybe every time I don't think I ever say it like this, but I've really, really enjoyed your company.
Thanks.
You're good. You're good fun to talk to. If anybody is looking for more to continue their, CrossFit content consuming, I'll just throw this link in here. You can go over and talk and listen to Chase and Bill. They're currently going through the workout and they will be for another, I don't know, 40 minutes or so. Thank you, Seth, really, really enjoyed your company. You're a good dude, good conversationist, crazy interesting life. Good luck with your podcast. I'll keep watching. I'll definitely watch that Sivan one too.
You're gonna be on
your affiliates.
I'm gonna pick something, maybe something you've never seen before, and maybe it'll be eye opening for you, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, do. Okay. You'd have to start quite late for my content. I think we kind of talked about that. Like 2016, 2017, around there somewhere.
That's almost 10 years ago. That's old.
Yeah, I guess when you think, I always think like, it's like, you know, when I see, like I teach like 8-year-olds and like I see their date of birth and I'm like, that must be a mistake. You know, I'm like, oh, 8 years ago was like 2002. And then I realized like, oh no, I'm just getting really old.
Funny.
Someone said to me the other earlier on today, they were like, "You maybe I knew this and I blocked it out, but someone said, oh, you're having your best open like in ever. And I was like, yeah, I'm actually a little bit nervous. I'm going to make quarterfinals. And then he said, yeah, well, in Masters. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm a Masters athlete. Like, I just had this moment of realization of like, oh, I think I knew that, but like bottled it up and blocked it out or something.
I don't even think of that either. Like that's right. I always compare myself, like looking at the numbers. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in a whole different field. I have to go look at.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it. We'll see you. You'll be back on this show. Hopefully you'll be back on this show someday and you'll be back on the debate in about like whatever, 12 weeks or something when we get back to another final.
I got to say, I've been watching. Josh looks pretty good. He looks like
Josh and Rory in the semifinal is going to be fucking nuts. Like they're going to.
Oh, they can both get through. Dang.
That's the thing.
Wow. No, I'm standing on top of the mountain waiting for anyone to make it up to me. So I'm ready.
Yeah. It's always good to have the higher ground too. Thanks. Go and watch Chase and Bill if you're still looking for something. Thanks, Seth. Appreciate your time. Right.